girls, little girls program.
Hey, doing good, David.
All right. Read some Psalms. All right. All right. Well, for the rest of us, let's turn to Genesis chapter 40. Genesis chapter 40. And we'll begin reading in verse 20. These are the last verses of this chapter. We'll finish chapter 40 this evening. And we'll be ready to move into the two dreams of Pharaoh in chapter 41. All right, so let's all stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Genesis chapter 40, beginning in verse 20. We'll take it through verse 23. If you found that this evening, would you say amen? Well, that's about five of you. I'll give you a second here. Genesis 40, beginning in verse 20. Amen. Chapter 40, verse 20. We there now? All right, here we go. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Can you believe that? Forgot him, man. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you. Lord, we know that men may forget us, but you never do. We may let each other down. None of us perfect in here. And we will be let down by others, but Lord, we can hold on to the assurance that you'll never let us down, never let us go. We praise you and we thank you for that. We thank you that Joseph knew that truth, even in that old dungeon, even in Potiphar's prison. He had an idea. He had a faith. He knew that you were with him. You'd seen through. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the Word of God. And we'll commence to getting into it here. Genesis chapter 40, verses 20 through 23. We're talking about how to deal with life in the pits. This is the third installment. And we'll be done with the pits and back on to the dreams of Pharaoh, chapter 41, as we get ready to transition there next week. Last week, we discussed the two dreams, one of the butler and one of the baker, in verses 9 through 19. And these two dreams and their interpretations contain a striking parallel. I want you to think about it for a moment. We're not going to go back and read the passage. You can read it later this evening if you would like. But the dreams and the interpretation of the dreams contain a striking parallel to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's my contention, it's my claim, it's not just mine, but it's other people who study the Bible. There is a scarlet thread of redemption that runs through all the Word of God. There is a thumbprint of God's salvation all through the Old Testament, through the New Testament. He's pointing you to it. He's taking you step by step. You start in Genesis, you get all the way to Revelation, you go, wow, that was awesome. The gospel, amen? So when you look at this, these two dreams, these two interpretations contain a striking parallel to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Both the butler and the baker had done what? Well, they had sinned against Pharaoh, had they not? Yeah, boy, they had. They had sinned against their master and had rightfully incurred Pharaoh's wrath. Both awaited the condemnation they deserved. One was pardoned and granted a restoration of fellowship and function at the hand of his master. The other received the punishment that was due and paid the penalty of death. I want to tell you, the gospel hits some people. Holy Spirit convicts. Their heart cracks. The wall comes tumbling down. They receive Jesus Christ. They give their life to him. They come on board in the church, they're baptized, they grow, they go forward in their faith, they produce fruit, they do all of these things, and then there's others, the gospel comes, and it doesn't ever make it, does it? Gospel just doesn't ever make it. It's painful to think about that. Man, oh man. Well, Pastor, how do you tell who gets it and who doesn't? Well, you don't get to tell that. You know what you get to do? You get to tell the gospel. Amen? That's your J-O-B, is to just continually tell the gospel. Preach the gospel. Live the gospel. Amen, church? Joseph, the messenger or interpreter of these dreams, bears a striking parallel to the preacher, to the evangelist, who tells it like it is. We say a person who can tell it like it is has that vital quality to help people, has that vital quality to lead people in the direction that they need to go, has that vital quality to pull people back from the abyss and get them back on the narrow road that they need to be on. Amen? However, when we think about, as we get into this now, and we talk about how the butler forgot, you know, the butler got delivered, but the butler forgot, human nature is naturally inclined to gather about us men who will tell us what we want to hear rather than to confront us with what we need to hear. Did you know that? Yeah. Yeah. We want folks to tell us what we want to hear instead of folks telling us what we need to hear. This unpleasant task of telling the baker what his future held was not only for his good, but for Joseph's, who would continue to speak the truth, who would continue to speak the truth, no matter what the cost. No matter what the cost, Joseph would speak the truth. In this final act of chapter 40, we've looked at several, in this final one in chapter 40, these last 20, 21, 22, and 23, these last four verses, we see prophecies fulfilled, but we see promises forgotten. Prophecies fulfilled, but promises forgotten. A few things I want to share with you about these four verses and also just kind of a summary to the chapter. Number one, Joseph's hopes. His hopes must have soared when the 3 days passed, proving the prophecies both to be true. He knew he was on. He knew God was using him to interpret dreams. He interprets the dreams. It all comes to fruition. Word comes back to him what has happened. And man, he's psyched. He's pumped. I'm finally going to get a hearing with somebody in authority that can help a brother out. Amen? He's excited. Surely the butler would not fail to show his gratitude to Joseph by speaking to Pharaoh on Joseph's behalf. And hopefully this would be soon. But as the text tells us, that's not the case, is it? No, that's not the case. The impression I get from verse 20, look at verse 20, and it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. I get the impression from looking at that and studying that, reading the commentaries on that, I get the impression from verse 20 that both the butler and the baker are brought out into the banquet, and they both have equal footing. They both have equal status. They both have equal standing. Then for some unexplained reason, the butler is given his former post while the baker is taken out and hanged. And the question is why? Perhaps the butler had responded correctly. I think that'd be it. The butler had responded correctly to the king's generosity, while the baker somehow missed it. He somehow missed it. And impossible as it seems, it just seems, boy, it's just like a tragedy. I mean, we're just reading this and it's going so good and the 3 days and the, and I mean, you know, whoo, Joseph's finally going, he's going to have an opportunity. Impossible as it seems, the butler forgot all about Joseph. 2 weeks? Well, you know, he forgot him 2 months. No, 2 years. He was forgotten for 2 years. Perhaps at first the butler intended to keep his promise to Joseph, but he never found the right moment to mention to Pharaoh the injustice that had been done to Joseph. For the butler, as the days went by, thoughts of Joseph's sufferings were suppressed, along with all the other painful memories triggered by any recollection of that prison on Potiphar's compound, that prison under Potiphar's house, that prison which was a dungeon. Finally, Joseph was completely forgotten until Pharaoh as well had a dream which could not be interpreted. Secondly, tonight, as we think about these four verses in this chapter in general, Joseph's rising hopes were dashed upon the rocks of reality again. Again. For doing what was right. You know, I think sometimes we think if we do the right thing, and I think a lot of times we are rewarded for doing the right thing. But don't ever forget, life is not fair. One person remembered, life is not fair, is it, church? No, think about Brother Mike, how he got dispatched out of here, on into glory. That ain't fair. That ain't fair. Life ain't fair. Joseph had been thrown into a hole by his brothers. They had chunked him down. I mean, chunked him down in the hole. Right? Left him for dead. For doing what, Pastor? For doing what was right. Following his daddy's orders. Joseph had been thrown into a dungeon by his master. Oh, well, Pastor, what had he done to be thrown into a dungeon? He wouldn't touch that woman. Right? For doing what was right. Now, with the interpretation of the butler's dream, Joseph thought he would have access to Pharaoh, the final authority in the land. Joseph does the right thing and is forgotten for 2 years. The right thing he did. Can he catch a break? Those 2 years spent in Potiphar's prison must have been the darkest days of Joseph's life. These years are passed over by Moses in complete silence. Kind of gives you an indication of how poor of days they were. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12 says, anybody know this proverb? It's a good one. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is the tree of life. Oh, this brother's got his hope deferred, does he not? Hope is deferred, is it not? Amen? I mean, it's put off, is it not? 3 days goes by, 30 days goes by, 60 days go by, 90 days go by. Certainly I'm going to hear from the butler. Certainly I'm going to hear from Pharaoh. 6 months go by. No, he ain't heard from nobody. He's been forgotten. Yeah, he's been forgotten, right? We're never told that Joseph suffered from the normal emotional reactions to his circumstances that are common to each of us. We're never told that. Instead, we find in chapter 40 a beautiful lesson in how to deal with despair and depression. And how to deal with despair and depression. See, this is the third installment on how to deal with life in the pits. When pits come our way, when we find ourselves in the pit, how are we going to deal with it? Think this through. Joseph had an absolute and unshakable confidence in the fact that God was with him in his suffering. Boy, I want to tell you, if you're really saved, if you really got God tonight, if He's really the Lord of your life, friend, you've got to hold on to that truth. God is with you through thick and through thin. God is with you when you can't even go any further. God is with you. God is carrying you at times. Amen? God is with you. In chapter 40, no one could have had the confidence Joseph did that God was able to interpret dreams through him apart from an intimate walk with God in that dungeon. Certainly that butler saw evidence of Joseph's walk with God in that he was convinced that this Hebrew from a foreign land, this Hebrew who we think are dogs if we're Egyptians, this Hebrew could in fact interpret his dream. There's something about that Hebrew. Right? He's got a faith in God. Amen? See, the tragedy of our day is that some Christians, some pastors, some churches are teaching that if a believer merely has enough faith, he'll never need to suffer. For they say that the death of Christ provides deliverance from all adversity and affliction. Friend, the death of Christ provides deliverance from a place called hell. That's what the death of Christ provides. Amen. Isn't that enough? I don't have to go to hell tonight. How about you? None of us have to go to hell tonight if we've got Christ. That's the deliverance of the cross. Defeats sin, defeats death, and guess what? You receive that free gift. You make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior, and you ain't going to a place called hell. You spend eternity with Jesus. Amen? But they teach it a little different. That's what they say. The death of Christ provides deliverance from all adversity and affliction. Now, while this error, this doctrinal error, this great doctrinal error may encourage the saint for a while before life actually happens, you know, because life eventually happens to us all. Life eventually happens. Tragedy eventually happens. Heartache eventually comes. Financial setbacks eventually creep in. Divorce happens. People die. Sickness comes. Life happens. Amen? Tragedy does strike. This error produces not encouragement, but it crushes us with discouragement. Crushes us. Man, if you know somebody in a church like that, they're in a church where that mumbo jumbo, I have some other expletives that are not appropriate for to be used in the pulpit, but if they're being fed that mumbo jumbo and you hear that, you're not proselyting them, inviting them to a church like this. You're not proselyting them, inviting them to another Bible-believing, truly Bible-preaching, Jesus-loving and worshiping church. You're not doing that. You're not proselyting. You're helping that brother or sister out. Amen? Well, be on the offensive. Don't let them stay in that. Well, you know, they seem happy in that church. That ain't a church. That's something else when they're preaching that kind of false doctrine on that. Amen? All right, stay with me. I'm not being judgmental. I'm just being honest. Had Joseph believed the erroneous doctrine of faith equals deliverance from one's troubles, then his faith and personhood would have been devastated. If freedom from pain and problems is solely dependent, if it's solely dependent upon my faith, then when pain and problems come my way, there must be something wrong with my faith. I didn't see anything wrong with Brother Mike's faith, did you? Did you see anything wrong with his faith? Did you see plenty of fruit out of that life? Saw plenty of fruit out of that life, didn't you? Amen? Wow. What can you attribute that to, Pastor? Well, I'll tell you in a little bit what I attribute that to. Joseph would then have been questioning his own relationship with God. That's where that doctrine takes you every time. That false, erroneous doctrine. It takes you to questioning your relationship with God. Have I fallen out of salvation? What has happened to my faith? Friend, God just tests us. God just takes us through. God's wanting to sanctify us. He's wanting to squeeze us and mold us and make us into the image of His Son. And it takes trials and tribulations and pains and sufferings to get us there sometimes. To get us there sometimes. It just does. Joseph would have been questioning his own relationship with God, perhaps even the existence of God, at the very time when he should have been ministering to others and giving testimony to his faith. So when we look at chapter 40, what's he doing? Is he questioning his faith? No, he's not. Is he questioning the existence of God? No, he's not. He's ministering to the butler and the baker. That's what he's doing. He's doing what he ought to be doing. Amen? Write this down. Take a mental note of it. Think it through. Pray about it and maybe discuss it with me later if you're struggling with it. But if our faith does not endure the storms of life, then my question to you is, what good is it? What good is it? Friend, I've got a faith from Jesus. I've got a faith from up above. The Holy Spirit's touched me. He's come into my life. Problems still exist. Tragedy still happens. Oh, but friend, I saw it on Brother Mike's eyes. I saw it on his eyes, his soulful eyes, the day he died last Thursday. Karen said, go get the nurse. I'm ready. He's ready. I go get the nurse. They bring in the first rounds of medication to help him relax, to keep him from hungering so much for air. And he looked at that nurse, and he knew what was coming, and he smiled. He was so thankful that he was finally going to get some relief. Amen? That brother was getting up out of that bed. One way or another. So you can't keep a Christian in bed forever. You just can't keep him in bed. 90 days is a long time for a Christian to be in bed. You just can't keep it. That brother got up out of that bed. One way or another, he got up out of that bed. Amen? We were watching him as that trach had been taken off of him. I was thinking to myself, Mike, get on up out of that bed. Just go, son. Get on up out of that bed. And he did. He did. He got up. He went. Amen? If our faith, see, his faith endured the storms of life. Bob Coons' faith endured the storms of life. Will your faith endure the storms of life? Benny Fillingame's faith endured the storms of life. How about your faith? Right? Joseph believed in a God who's not only all wise and all loving, but he believed in a God that's all powerful. That's what Joseph believed in. The God he served did not place his servants. The God he served did place his servants in circumstances that were difficult. The God he served did place his servants in circumstances that were unpleasant. But he also, see, this is what God does. He also gives us a sufficient what? A sufficient measure of his grace, a sufficient measure of his mercy to endure the difficult and the unpleasant. See, the testimony of Joseph in these dark days is a reminder to every Christian that even the righteous will suffer, and that such suffering is in the will of God to accomplish his purposes. To accomplish his purposes. Amen? To accomplish his purposes. And lastly tonight, as we close it out, Joseph believed God could and would deliver him from his suffering in his good time and in his way. Now, he is going to get delivered after 2 years. But say his deliverance didn't come. Say he spent his whole life in that jail. Do you think Joseph's faith would have wavered? I don't think so. Joseph would have gone on to be with the Lord, being delivered from that prison. Amen? Friend, you're delivered either way. You're delivered either way. That's the beauty of it. See, the watchword for Christians in the midst of suffering, it's not escape. It's endurance. Endurance. Everybody say it. Endurance. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." Amen? That's God's word on that. So, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get into our prayer time this evening. Can we do that? Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, Lord, we're thankful that we can finish chapter 40. Moving on into chapter 41, Lord, lessons on how to deal with life in the pits. None of us like to be in the pits, but the pits are just a part of life. Depression, we struggle with it, we live with it. Lord, help us go through it. Help us come out the other side with a testimony of encouragement, a testimony of healing, a testimony to help others are going through the same kind of things that we've just come out of. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Be with us, Lord, as we go through this time of prayer. And Lord, I'm so thankful that we can come together and bear one another's burdens. It's in your name we pray. And everyone said,
amen. Amen.